You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Advertising and an ever-growing variety of billboards are just one threat to public space. So says the Vancouver Public Space Network. This organization formed earlier this year and is determined to safeguard public space in a wide range of settings. Andrew Pask is one of the founders of the Vancouver Public Space Network, and he's joined me in the studio. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
So now, why did the Vancouver Public Space Network form?
Well, we formed the organization back in the spring of this year. My co-founder, Lindsay Popes, and I had a number of conversations over the previous year about various issues affecting public space, be it the corporatization of public space, the increasing amounts of advertising, and various other issues. And we'd had these conversations with a number of folks, our friends, our colleagues, people that we met, and had batted around the idea of maybe doing something collaborative, collaboratively around that. And we looked around. There were some interesting models of other organizations that have formed around the public space concept or the umbrella in different cities. And we thought, well, this might be something that would work well in Vancouver. It's something that seems to resonate well with a lot of people, the concept that is everyone can relate to public space. And so we put the call out to some of the people that we'd talked to and convened an initial meeting and sort of pitched the idea of maybe working together on this. And it was very well received, and it just seemed to take off from there, and it seems to have snowballed ever since.
Okay, I'm going to have to step back a second here and ask you, so what do you mean by public space? And then we can move on to how it's threatened.
Yeah, well, that's a very good question, because it's one of those questions that you think would have a very straightforward, simple answer. And in fact, public space is one of those concepts that isn't quite as precise as people might like when you start looking at it. There's all sorts of different types of public space, and in fact, it's sometimes helpful to think of public space and private space as being less binary opposites and more of, I guess, two poles on a continuum. You have public space like parks, you have public space like streets and streetscapes, which account for an enormous amount of public space in any city or town. You have all sorts of other aspects of public space too, the visual environment, the viewscapes that we have in Vancouver looking over to the mountains, for example, might be considered a form of public space. Then you have different types of institutional public space, municipal buildings, libraries, for example, schools, and so on. And so you can see that there's different gradations within that concept of public space that account for a variety of different aspects or dimensions. You know, childcare spaces, even this co-op radio station might be considered a form of public space.
And so then, how's it threatened? Is there a generalization for the threat to public space?
Well, I guess you might consider that there are a number of different things that impact on public space, different threats, if you like, or different issues that are imposed. One of which seems to affect different types of public space in a fairly uniform fashion is the increase in advertising that we see and the general push on the part of corporate advertisers to try and find ever different niches in which to put corporate messaging or branding or things of that sort. So that might be one threat. You could talk about other threats as well, the increase in surveillance and security that takes place. There's all sorts of pushes right now to put surveillance cameras downtown. And this might be construed as a form of threat if you consider public space and civil liberties in the same branch. I mean, our civil liberties get affected when we're put under the lens of a surveillance camera. So that's another form of threat too. So those are two, and there's all sorts of other ones that we might talk about as well.
Yeah. So why is it important to maintain public spaces? Maybe that's an important question to ask.
Yeah, well, it is definitely an important question. Public spaces are important because they help a city to be, I guess the simple way of putting it is that they make a city great. I mean, cities are strengthened by public spaces. These are the meeting places, if you want to use the old term, the agoras, where people get together, where they can where they can meet, where they can converse, where presumably there is some level of political discourse that can take place, or they can just hang out with their friends. And people should very much have the right to do this without having, people trying to hawk things to them all the time. Public spaces help cities to be vital, and they animate the urban landscape. So they're very important in a number of ways. They also don't cost anything to go to. So unlike a private space, like a movie theater, where you have to pay money to get in to hang out, or a restaurant, public spaces are open to everyone. That's sort of the driving concept behind them.
So then, now the Vancouver Public Space Network, what sort of have you done? What projects have you undertaken in the time you've been around?
Well, we started off with a fairly small repertoire of activities, and not really to our surprise, but to our joy, perhaps, it sort of unfolded quite quickly ever since. We started with this... with this idea that we might get together and both look at issues that were threatening public space, but also approach public space as something that should be celebrated, figure out ways to encourage people to animate public space, to celebrate it, to come together and sort of take stock of all the good things about it. And the very first thing that we did, almost around the time of our very first meeting, was take a look at some of the issues that were facing the public space with regard to Library Square. And this is something that just almost happened by coincidence. There were a few of us that were walking down near Library Square one evening, and there was this enormous Kokanee branding effort in place. They'd erected this huge inflatable beer can, and they'd wrapped the whole Library Square in Kokanee advertising, and they'd driven their little Kokanee 4x4s on it. And it was quite shocking, because we're just out for a nice warm spring evening, and all of a sudden you stumble across this. And while I have nothing against breweries beer companies doing their thing, it does bother me, and it bothered the group of us that was there that evening, that they'd taken over a public space in this sort of fashion. And so, as I said, this was right around our very first meeting. All of a sudden we're like, wow, what can we do about this? And it just so happened that the Vancouver Public Library has an extraordinarily good public space policy. They're one of the few institutions and organizations that actually has articulated a concern about public space and maintaining their public spaces. And so this all seemed rather conflictual and confusing, and so we made a deputation to the board there and talked to them about it and expressed our concerns. And so I guess it wasn't really trial by fire, I suppose, but it was within very short order we were engaged in making deputations and trying to publicize public space issues too. We started writing about this and producing a newsletter, and once we started sending this out, it seemed to just roll away, and every time we would mail out one of our little bulletins, we'd get four or five more people that heard about us and thought this sounded like an interesting project, and so it seemed to take off from there. From that point, we've taken on a number of different projects.
Before we leave the library thing, like it sounds like an interesting issue to me, like in terms of what you're saying, public space, we've already paid for the library space through our tax money and everything. It seems we shouldn't have to pay through it again through advertising. So it's a double payment issue there. But how were you received at the library? What was the outcome of your deputations?
Well, I mean, I wasn't quite sure when I walked in to make the deputation what might happen. The library, I should say, the board was very receptive, and I think many of the board members and staff felt the way they did. They weren't quite sure how it had happened, that Kokanee had been able to do this, and it's a rather interesting story that I don't know if you'd like me to sort of elaborate on it. It might take a few moments, but it was one of those things where it seemed to have caught them by surprise as well, too, because initially they thought they had rented a space to a nonprofit organization. Surprise, they hadn't. Or I guess they had, and somehow or another the nonprofit organization was connected with Kokanee in some sort of way, and the next thing you know, this enormous beer can was set up there. So they were quite receptive, and excellent. They actually introduced a modification to their public space policy following the deputation. I don't want to have the Public Space Network take credit for it, but they were quite supportive.
That's great. So now you've also been involved in some guerrilla gardening exploits. Can you tell me something about those?
Sure. Well, that's one of the dimensions of public space that we work with. We have really three areas that we look at: the corporatization of public space, issues of surveillance and security, and then urban greening, or what we call guerrilla greening, because we like to make it inclusive. And we've got really two components of guerrilla gardening that we do. And for folks that don't know, guerrilla gardening really is it's a way of trying to animate public spaces, orphaned spaces, if you like, or the brown fields and gray abandoned lots of the city with a bit of greenery to try and beautify the city. And also it's got an environmental benefit. It's got an aesthetic benefit too.
So people go and informally put plants in these empty plots and sort of take control of it?
Yeah. What we do, and guerrilla gardening is quite popular now. It seems to have caught on across the country because you see articles in the Globe and Mail about it, and it's got quite a cachet in that sense. Our approach has always looked at two different things. One, we've had workshops around how to do guerrilla gardening with what we call seed balls. These are little clusters of seeds and growing medium that you can broadcast on empty spaces, and they grow and they help to beautify them with wildflowers and native seeds. And then the other project that we've taken on is what we call 1,000 Cedars for Cedar Cottage. And one of our members managed to get an enormous stock of cedar seedlings. And so we've been putting those in Cedar Cottage.
Hmm. So, okay, it sounds like you've got a good base of some projects and you've got this idea here. Where do you plan to go with this public space network? What are your aspirations?
Well, our chief aspiration is to help bring awareness to public space issues and to raise awareness around them and to look for ways that we can celebrate public space as well too. So within those three areas that I talked about, we have a number of things that we're working on. We're always looking for volunteers and always looking for help too. And we're trying to really work on the issues in a concrete fashion. So, we're encouraging people to write letters and contact the powers to be around, for example, the Squamish billboard proposal on the three bridges in Vancouver. That's something that's taken up a bit of our time. We're encouraging people to come to our workshops around guerrilla gardening. We're starting on a surveillance camera mapping project, which is something that we're very excited about, because we have this interesting proposal by the Vancouver Police Department to install surveillance cameras in the downtown. And we think that that's a real issue of concern for folks, particularly because no one seems to know how many surveillance cameras are already in place. And so we thought, the wind-up to the Olympics is going to really push this issue around ensuring that Vancouver is, even more surveilled than before. And so what does the current surveillance situation look like? So that's one of our projects there. We want to create a nice big GIS map of all the cameras, and it's quite remarkable how many are already in the city as it stands. I mean, you walk down Water Street, for example, and just a little three-block street has 20 cameras on it. Hmm. It's amazing. So the idea of putting even more in town seems to be a small item of concern there.
So if people are interested in what you're talking about here and it resonates with them, how can they get involved with what you're doing?
Well, they can contact us. We have some resources on the web already. We're all volunteer-driven, so our website is sort of being developed slowly but surely, and it's coming along nicely. It can be found at vancouverpublicspace.ca. So Vancouver Public Space is all one word, .ca. Or they can email us at info@vancouverpublicspace.ca. And if they want to volunteer, that's great. Let us know. They can sign up for our monthly newsletter and our bulletins, and we send them out fairly regularly. We try to really, we focus on the idea of being a network, I guess, to really try and create linkages, because there's a lot of folks that are doing really good public space work already, and we're really looking to connect with them too, and to, link, build capacity, as they say, between different organizations to share resources and to work together to really promote public space for everyone's benefit.
Okay, that's great. Well, thanks very much for coming in and talking about it.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I've been talking with Andrew Pask of the Vancouver Public Space Network, and as you heard, you can find more information and email address and everything at vancouverpublicspace.ca.